It was a grassroots initiative from citizens of Belgrade in summer 2015, when this was a huge transit point for the refugees from Syria, Middle East, and later Afghanistan, Pakistan. Every day we met 5,000 new people here in downtown Belgrade while the borders were open, and we were the extension of the response of the citizens of Belgrade, which were coming every day here to these two parks where they gathered the refugees, bringing food, coming to play with children, to talk with the people, to listen to their stories about their life, about their dreams, about their hopes. And then later in September 2015, we decided to open the small info park place, like a kiosk, where we could give people all the information, how to safely continue the travel, how to avoid the risks, how to avoid being cheated, how to pay at least as possible, you know, to reach the borders of Hungary and Croatia and continue the road. But things got complicated at the beginning of 2016 with the closure of European borders, with the introducing new rules and new obstructions for everyone who was on the way towards Europe, and we had to start giving people not only information but also aid, like clothes, food, shoes, medical help, everything else. So we really grew into a very serious information refugee hotspot for support. In the end, we were the main food supplier for the people. Like in the 6 months between April and October 2016, we gave more than 270,000 meals to the refugees. So when this phase was over, and by the end of October, we were forced by a government decision to leave the park where we were based. We opened a new hub.
What was the argument?
The argument from the government side was that the moment we close our work and we close distributing food, there'll be less and less refugees coming to Belgrade. Eventually, in a couple of weeks, there'll be no more refugees here. Of course, it turned out to be completely opposite, that from 800 refugees that were present in Belgrade when we closed our operation, it grew into 2,400 at the beginning of January. So three times more in about 2.5 months period, which is just clearly showing that this process is happening regardless of the help and support they're getting from the NGOs, activists, volunteers, and whoever is helping them these days.
Is it true that all the money is coming from the EU and foreign donors? Is it true that nothing is being spent by any Serb or Serb authority?
That's the question for the government. Basically, government is using money which is coming from the EU, European Commission, which is channeled through ECHO, its European humanitarian organization, and later through some of the big international NGOs like DRC, NRC in the past. As far as independent initiatives go, like NGOs like mine, InfoPark, we are being funded by different organizations from all over the world, but mostly from Europe or from the United States, not necessarily the EU money. Like, we are funded by International Rescue Committee from United States and by Embassy of Norway. Those are the main two donors. It is true that Serbian government doesn't want to spend money from the taxpayers in Serbia, at least that's the public narrative. I really cannot vouch for that because I don't have an insight into their books, but at least this is being very often mentioned in public.
What is it what you call the European hypocrisy?
Well, European hypocrisy is that at the moment Serbia is turned into like a big parking with almost 10,000 refugees waiting here, waiting for unknown, you know, would they be allowed to continue to Europe, which is not very likely, or would they be somehow allowed to go back, which is again not very likely at the moment because it's a quite complicated procedure. And the main focal point of this hypocrisy paradox is that actually refugees are, when they're on the way to EU, first they're entering two EU countries, Greece and Bulgaria, and they're immediately leaving them, coming into Serbia, which is a non-EU country, and then from Serbia they're not allowed to continue on to the EU countries like Hungary and Croatia and further on to like Austria, Germany, France, or whatever, wherever they're going. So this is highly illogical, yes. Illogical because this is pointing at a clear mistake in the system. The system is at the moment really pointing at Serbia as a kind of a garage or a parking place for a big number of refugees. And it's not only these 10,000 people that are at the moment in Serbia, it's also another 13,000 in Bulgaria, which are desperately hoping to leave Bulgaria and come to Serbia and continue because of the horrible conditions in Bulgaria and lack of a proper asylum system, the worst camps on planet at the moment, like Harmanli. And also, speaking of Greece, there are 60,000 people out of the 30,000 on the mainland Greece, not on the island, and among these 30,000, pretty much everyone is also hoping to come to Serbia as soon as they can, while still can try their own luck and chance to get across Hungarian and Croatian border into Europe.
With Hungarian border being every time, every month stricter, is there a need of having an integration policy, really?
Well, to have integration chances to succeed, you really need to have both sides interested in. And at the moment, the real problem is that neither refugees nor Serbia are interested in the integration. Refugees don't want to stay here. Serbia don't want them to stay here on the longer run. I mean, Serbia was behaving relatively nicely to refugees, like really without any serious violations of human rights, except for like some few minor offenses not worth of mentioning, only because and on behalf that Serbia is a transit state. Now, if Serbia is becoming a country of, well, final destination, you know, where they are stuck, this will induce, I'm afraid, some changes in the policies, and it might also affect the public opinion, because people of Serbia were so far friendly, or at least tolerant, of the refugees and migrants, because they knew they don't have a wish to stay, and they were in a fast transit. Right now, we already have people who are stuck here for almost a year, or at least between 6 months and 1 year, who didn't succeed in crossing into Hungary and Croatia. And some of these people will be probably offered to stay here in some arrangement. And this is creating a new dynamics for the crisis in Serbia, meaning that, first of all, the refugees and migrants, they need to learn to live here. And also the locals will have to learn how to live with them in a kind of a friendly coexistence. It doesn't have to be love, but it has to be like a human and tolerant.
It's unusual not to hear about any right-wing or populist right party here?
Well, we do have, of course, populist parties, but I believe that the reason which I explain is the main why these political trends were not more evident like they're in Europe, for example. So we didn't have any serious violence, riots, setting houses on fire or something like that, because no one sees these people as a mainstay here. And like both sides are happy, very happy with the situation that this was a transit place. I mean, refugees to be able to continue their travel and locals to say bye-bye, you know, to the refugees. I mean, the only problem is that some of the people born at that time, that this cannot last forever, and that one moment the borders will have to close, and that the moment of closure, Serbia has to take care that it doesn't get burdened with far too many people. And right now we are close to 10,000. I have to say that at the time when the border was closed in March 2016, there was only like a few hundred people in Serbia. But the problem is that Serbia cannot fully protect its borders, especially the one with Bulgaria, which is a very rough mountainous terrain, and that border is leaking. So basically now some 9 months after the 10 months after the closure of the Balkan route, no, it's actually a year exactly, it was these days, it was a year, we have about more than 10 times more people than we had 1 year ago.
You started to give German courses, you mentioned at InfoPark. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we have this program of FAMS, like a German federal office for BAMF, migration and refugees, authorized textbooks, like learning books, called Erste Hilfe Deutsch. These are the books which are used for these integration certificates. Like, you actually need to pass the test in Germany if you want to join the German school. No, we don't work with BAMF, but we're using BAMF certified books, which were difficult to import because they were not meant to be sent to Serbia, but we have them. It's possible to buy them in Germany. We are using these books because we want to give people chance, refugees and migrants, while they're here in Serbia and Belgrade, while they're waiting for their queue, for example, to cross the border with their families or vulnerable groups. And so they learn something they should anyway need to learn if they reach Germany. You know, so basically the time they would spend in Germany, they spend in Belgrade. So basically we are doing this because of several reasons. First of all, you know, language as a knowledge is very important. And this is something they learn, you know, for good for their life. And even if they don't make it to Germany, you know, the knowledge of German language will stay and they will be maybe one day able to use it for something in their life, even if they go back to Kabul. Second thing, you know, I think it's important to keep their dream alive. Their dream is, of course, to reach Germany and to reach Europe. And this is another element. This is a kind of a psychosocial support for them. You know, we keep their mental stability being better than without, you know, because they're spending anyway like months in the camp, and the conditions in camp are not really good. I mean, they do have bed, they do have a shower, they have food, but apart from that, there's very little of content and very little of fulfillment of their human side, you know, of their presence over there. So basically they're for them it's a main thing, you know, to come to us 3 times a week. You know, they have sessions, they have very good teachers, one German, one Swiss, one Austrian. Everyone is at the moment obsessed with some other categories of the refugees. Like, you know, you go to any camp or any center, you will see corner for the baby, corner for the kids, corner for children, mothers, something like that. But you don't see any activities for teenagers and teenage girls and also young women. You know, those are, we found that they're very ambitious, they're very open, they're motivated to learn, they have very strong determination, you know, to make something out of their life, and also determination to somehow try to change their life from the perspective of the traditional societies they belong to. And that's the reason why we also started something new several weeks ago. We're having one light feminist course with them, workshop called Girls Talk. We don't tell them that this is feminism, but that's, you know, how we call it in Europe. And the girls, we have two trainers who are coming from the young feminist organization called Alternative Center for Girls here in Kruševac, Serbia. You know, they're talking the topics of women empowerment, women emancipation, relationship between men and women, partnerships, public discourse of women in European society, like violence against women, also reproductive health, and other topics which are important and not at all somehow covered in the societies they come from. I mean, I'm pretty sure that what we're all doing here, both government, civil society, is leaving a good impression. I mean, how important it is for the process of joining EU, that's completely another question, and I cannot answer that. I believe that Serbia is getting very good marks for this, especially for the human rights recognition and the rights of the refugees and respecting.
But coming back to 1 year earlier, the EU-Turkey deal finally didn't work. The Balkan Road is alive.
Well, I think if you talk with the Germany and the European politicians, they believe it works. The deal works, meaning there are no 10,000 people each day coming to Europe. For Europe was the most important thing, that this big number stops, so you don't end with 1 million new refugees each year. Right now, I've heard that like Vienna and Austria is counting about 1,000 refugees per month. But for Serbia, it's different because like these people are coming from Serbia, meaning that this number is constantly rising. You know, I mean, every month Serbia ends with about 10% increase in the number of the refugees which are stuck here, and right now we are close to 10,000, and I believe this number is going to continue to rise with the spring, summer, nice weather. We will see more and more people here. So basically, we still don't know where this is going to end. Serbia was always reacting to the things which are happening in the field, and we are not doing things to prevent them. So the question is, of course, what Serbia can do, but right now we still don't see the end, how this is going to be finished, at least for Serbia. Otherwise, you know, this number will continue to grow if there's no political decision about it.
For the depressions of the Afghan you observed, if there is a first violence from either side, can this turn into a political crisis also for the country?
Well, the lucky thing so far that among the incidents that happened, most of these incidents were actually induced by the locals. And this was a very little thing, so like a small fight on the street or something like that. There were no casualties, there were no dead people. I mean, all the victims so far in this 18 months or 2 years in Serbia were always just refugees who came as a victims from, I don't know, traffic accidents or freezing in the cold or drawing in the river. Can it happen? Yes, it can, of course. It depends where you talk. If you talk up on the northern border with Hungary, I have to say with a huge disappointment that the Hungarian minority in Serbia is more looking into Budapest than into Belgrade for the politics, and they're much closer in their state of mind with Orban than with the rest of the country. Also, the problems are cities and villages when there are centers with unproportionately big number of refugees compared to the local community. So, for example, if you have a 1,000 people big center in a 5,000-6,000 big village or small town, of course there will be problems. You know, this is changing, this is affecting the local community, changing the tiny balance which exists. I'm aware that government knows, but it just takes time, takes money. Serbia, of course, has neither time nor money. You know, money-wise, it's highly dependable on the EU because Serbia has no money to spend on the refugees. I mean, this is the country where pensioners are getting like less than 200 euros per month as an average pension. So, I mean, every pensioner in Serbia is almost like a case of social problem, you know.